Okay, so we're up to Simin Tes, Sif Katan Yudalit. Chutei, it's on page Samach. On page Samach. Chutei Hatzitzis Trichim Lihios Shizurin. The chutim of the tzitzis have to be spun. Shizur means two threads have to be spun together. The Eze Chut Nifrad Mishizira. So, if one of your chutim gets separated, if the two parts of each individual thread get separated, Ozai, Kol haparud nechshav kiilu niksas, you know, it's as if that chut with the part that has come apart does not exist, and we make the calculation of how long are your chutim. If you're a shalim means it's at least 8 thumbs on each side, then we have to consider it not shalim if we do not have 8 agudlim, 8 thumbs that are where the thread is not fully spun. Now this means as follows, and we're going to see in a few minutes that this is not true in our times, because in our times we have high quality tzitzis. I'm sure you've all seen tzitzis, everyone has seen some old tzitzis where the threads come apart. Now, let me explain. The way threads are made today, at least my tzitzis, I look at it very carefully, my tzitzis, the thin ones, the thicker ones could be are different, but the thin tzitzis are made, they start off with 4 threads. Okay, you take the wool off the animal, they comb it, I don't know what they do exactly, they process it, and they make teeny, teeny, teeny little threads. When they prepare the tzitzis, they take 4 of those teeny, teeny little threads, and they spin them together. They then take another 4, and they spin those together. They then take those 2, which really now are 8, and they spin that together to produce 1 chut of your tzitzis. So really, every one of your strings really has 8. The part where they take the 4 and they spin it together to make 1 is called tviya. That's called spinning. No, that's tviya. Tviya is, darigas is the weaving. Tviya is the spinning. When they comb it, when they shear the wool off the back of the animal, that's called the gziza. That's the shearing. Gozes. Then there's niputz. Niputz means they comb it. They take some instrument and they comb it and they flatten it out to make strands. And then they take teeny little strands, they take 4 of them, they put it together, that's called tviya. Then they take 2 of these strands and they spin them together, that is called shizira. That's the second part, the second step of spinning. And that's what he's referring to over here. So when you look at your tzitzis, the regular thin pair of tzitzis, it's very one string, you see that it's curling. You can see that it's spun together. If you were to undo it, you would come away with 2 chutim. Take an old pair of tzitzis. It's going into the garbage. Take one of the tzitzis. Just try. You open it up, and you'll see you have 2 threads. Then take each one of those 2 threads and try to undo each one of those 2 threads, and you will see that you will have at least 4 little strands. Now, me'ikar hadin, you don't need 4. Me'ikar hadin, I think you only need 2. You only need 2. So today, we have insurance. So being that today, we have already double of what you need al pi halacha. Ikar hadin, when you start out, all you need to start out with two little strands. And you take the 2 little strands and you make it into 1. And then you take those 2 ones and you make it into 2. Which basically means each chut has 4. If then those 2 unravel, it's not kosher. So the part that unravels is not kosher. But our tzitzis, we're starting out ahead of the game. Because we're already starting out with 4 that are spun together. The 4 that are spun together technically counts a kosher tzitza. Therefore, halacha l'maisa, today, if your chutim unravel, it's still kosher. Because each one of the individual parts that has unraveled has in it at least 4.
Insurance.
So therefore you were insured. And if I'm not mistaken, the thick tzitzis that you buy in the store, they start out with 8. Why are you going to buy thin tzitzis or thick tzitzis? Why are some thin, why are some thick? Unravel it. You'll see that the 2 which conclude the process have been made, each one of those 2 has been made from 8. And it could be there are even more different degrees of thickness. So being that the Ikar HaDin, you don't need four, you don't need eight. All you need to start out with is two, and two or four. I'm not even sure if I can really get it clarified. If it's two or four, how you start in the very, very beginning. The Halacha L'maisa, this does not apply with the Kit HaShulchan Aruch writes here, does not apply with Zman Hazeh. He is talking in his time where they just made the tzitzis the very, very bare minimum. Two little strands made one, and that one, they took two of those, which were two of those, which each one had two, and they were spun together for Shazira, which produced a tzitza, which had a grand total of four strands. Now, if it unravels, no good, because Ikar HaDin, it has to have at least inside, under the hood, at least four strands. But today, each one of our tzitza has under the hood eight strands, so if it unravels, it doesn't matter, because the part that unravels still has within it at least four on each one of those strands, so it's still kosher b'di'avad, even l'chatchila. So this is what he says over here, achute hatzitzis shetzrichim liyos shezurin. Shezurin is the term which we refer to the second step of spinning. V'im eze chut nifrad mishezira soy, if any chut is unspun, ozai kol haporu, the part that has been unspun, nechshav ki'ilu niksas ve'eno, it's considered as if it does not exist, been cut off and does not exist. And we have to then go back to what we learned yesterday, all the rules of what happens if one of the tzitzis is cut off. So if one, it's cut, if three are cut, you're in a lot of trouble. If two are cut, it depends where, how much is left, how much is not left. All of those rules will follow after we ignore the part of the tzitza that has unraveled, after we consider it as if it does not exist. Tesvav. Now there's a yud gimel on the bottom. Shazurin yud on the bottom. Yud on the shorim mitzvah halacha. Ayim shari tshuva sheyesh aysim maase avos shazur. He says this what one part that I mentioned. The article, he explained even more detail, but here he says, Sheyesh oisim asa avos, some make very thick tzitzis. Our tzitzis, even the thinnest, okay? The thinnest, when he's saying very thick, he's talking about the thinnest of our tzitzis. The thick of our, if you go to the farm store, you want to go buy a thick pair of tzitzis, that has even more. Shazur shmishmoino chutin, like what we have. Ve'ein moichin biyado, and no one, there are people who do this, and you should not protest. There's nothing technically wrong with this. This is halachically fine. If there are more chutim that are in each chut, it's fine. There's no limit. Uveber halacha sham hela, deluchol apoiskim dai, shiyash shazur lishnayim, it's enough just to have two. It's enough, Ikar HaDin, that if all you have inside is two, which seems that you're starting out with two extremely very thin little strands, taken off the back of the animal, and you spin them together, that's a kosher tzitza. The Ikar HaDin, every single tzitza must have at least two threads spun together to produce that tzitza. However, some are mahader, the mitzvah min hamufchar, sheyeh kol chut kafel l'shmoina, like what we have today. It's very hard to see. You have to have really good eyes to take your tzitza and take it apart and see that each one of the single chutim really has within it four. So four times two is eight. The ayin b'shail tshuvas chasam sofer shehikbid davka al kavul shmoni. He was makbid. He held that it's not just some hider. This is Ikar HaDin, and you should have every one of the tzitz should have at least eight chutim inside when you unravel it in its entirety. Tezvav. Talis sheyesh bat tzitzis v'nechlak l'shnei chalok. Now in ancient times, the talis skatan was made from two parts. We don't see this at all today. Maybe you see this in some of the sports. They have now all of these new sports talisos. People wear, they want to play ball. What? T-shirts. So it could be they have also snaps. All these high-tech new things. They come and go. Every day someone tries one idea, and then a year later it's out of business. But it used to be that, now you wear a talis katan, obviously there's the neck part. So the neck part, you have a big hole in the middle. A V-neck, round neck, but that part, it's wasted space. So when you manufacture the talis katan, they didn't go take a big piece of cloth and then cut out a hole in the middle. What a waste. What are you going to do with the hole in the middle? Even in Dunkin' Donuts, don't they sell the middle of the donuts? Right? They take the dough that they cut out of the donut, and really, and they make out of it, they inject some type of gel, whatever they put in it, and they sell those little balls separately. You don't waste anything in America.
They're holy.
You don't waste anything in America. So when you go and you make a garment and you have to cut out the hole for the neck, you have all that material. What do you do with it? You can't put it in the oven and make a donut out of it. So what do you do with it? So it was the custom of those who used to manufacture talisos ketanos in ancient times that they wouldn't bother. They would just take two pieces of material, a square for the front of the body and a square for the back of the body, and then they would take a little strip of material and they would stitch arm pieces to connect the two together. That's what they would do. They would take a piece of cloth over here, a piece of cloth over here,
suspenders,
and then you have the front and the back, and you save. We don't waste any material. We don't have to take one big piece of material and cut out the centerpiece and have a piece of material that's wasted. Optimize a piece in the front, piece in the back, a little strip. We stitch it up, and you're in business. And being that it was stitched up, this is what was done. When people would send it into the cleaners, or they would want to, do something, they would unstitch it. It was no big deal. Maybe it was Velcro, maybe it had some high-tech type of stitching, whatever it was. They would unstitch it, and they would wash out the front, wash out the back, do this, do that. So the problem is, what's going on here? Let's start out fresh. You have a piece of material in the front, a piece of material in the back, and you take two shoulder straps and you stitch it together. And now you make one talus gadol. And we have to assume it's not so clear. The amount of the shoulder straps has to be greater than the area that's inside. Otherwise, it's not going to be a kosher talus gadol. But that's not for now. It's not. Because the combination of the shoulder on the left and on the shoulder on the right must be greater than the part that's in the middle. Otherwise, it's not considered to be one large garment. So let's assume that the shoulder part on the right and the left is greater than the gap in the center. And you then bring it to an expert, and he ties on tzitzis on the four corners of the garment, right? Ties on four corners. He takes the four strings in each corner, makes a nice kosher tzitzis, l'shem, mitzvahs, tzitzis, everything is kedas tuchudin. And now you're wearing your talus gun for a couple of weeks, and it's time to send to the cleaners, and the cleaners wants it in peace, doesn't want the shoulder straps. So you unstitch it, and then you give it to him the front and the back. When you give him the front, what do you have hanging down? Two tzitzis. What do you have hanging on the other side? Two tzitzis. And then when you get it back from the cleaners, you stitch it back together. But when you stitch it back together, you reconstitute the beged, and the tzitzis, memela, are there. The tzitzis have, it's tase v'loy min ha'asui. You have to put the tzitzis on a garment of four corners. You can't go make tzitzis and then build a garment around the tzitzis. The tzitzis come after the garment is complete. Just like we learned that if you want to go cut off, you don't want to bother stitching. So you'll just cut off from an old talus, you'll cut off the tzitzis, and you'll stitch it on to a, or you'll cut a hole, you'll cut a slit in the corner of the garment, and insert the tzitzis, and then stitch it up. Puzzle 100%. Tase v'loy min ha'asui. It's the same exact principle over here. What are you doing? You have a garment, four corners. You then ruin the garment by taking away the shoulder straps, and then you clean it, and then you reconstitute it. But when you reconstitute it, the tzitzis are there memela. It's tase v'loy min ha'asui. What is the halacha? So let me just tell you the halacha in a nutshell, then we'll read it inside. It's a little complicated. It's machlekes, the Mishnah Berurah, and the Kitzer. The Mishnah Berurah says, guess what? It's no problem. It's fine. You know why it's fine? Because normally, typically, the part that's the front and the part that's the back is usually a beged by itself. It's large enough by itself. Typically, our talus katan is double the size. It has to be, let's say, 18 by 18. If it's 18 wide, if it's 18 inches wide, usually it's at least double that, going from front to end. So when you'll remove the shoulder straps, you'll be left with a square that's at least 18 inches wide by 18 inches long. So it is already a beged that is chayiv in tzitzis. If you would take a garment that's exactly 18 by 18 and cut it in half, it's no longer a kosher garment. It's no longer a beged that's chayiv in tzitzis. Then when you would restitch it and reconstitute, you now make it into a garment. And the tzitzis already there. Then it's a problem of tasev lemino. But here, when you take apart the shoulder straps, you now have two kosher talisos. Now I had one kosher talis, you take apart the shoulder straps, now I have two garments which are chayiv in tzitzis. So the two that are on the front are good tzitzis, two on the back are good tzitzis. I now need to put really another two on the opposite sides. I'm not doing that because I want to send to the cleaners. Send to the cleaners. And then when I stitch it back together, this is not called tasev loy mina osay. Tasev loy mina osay is only when you start out with when you don't have a garment and you put on tzitzis and then you make a garment. But if you have a kosher garment and the tzitzis have been inserted in the kosher garment, and then the garment is just shortened, but it still remains a kosher garment, and then you reconstitute it with its previous part, that is not a violation of Tasev Eloi Min Asi. So the Mishnah Berurah says you don't need to do anything. Everything is fine and good. He's very lean. The Mishnah Berurah is very lean. All the halachas that we've learned so far in the Kitzur and the Mishnah Berurah, the Kitzur is much more machmir than the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says, kosher, you don't need to do anything, provided that each segment itself is a talis by itself. Yeah.
Where the hole is.
Yeah.
If you have Velcro going down, could you take out the tzitzis when you wash it?
What do you mean? What do you mean is Velcro?
With the hole to the corner.
Yeah.
Okay. If you have Velcro, instead of it being just the hole, instead of stitching, if you had Velcro,
yeah,
put together, then when you go to clean it,
yeah,
you open up the Velcro, pull out the tzitzis.
No.
It's still in the hole.
No, but you can pull it out.
I'm not sure I understand exactly. I'm not sure I understand.
Holding the tzitzis in the corner is Velcro.
What tzitzis?
That's what's holding it, he's saying.
No, it's no good.
Because the corner.
Yeah.
Where you have the corner of
it. Yeah.
Putting a little zip of it.
A little zip or whatever.
No, no good.
Buttons.
No good. Yeah. If you take it off and you put it back on, it's tassel leminosin. Right. It's definitely like no good. It's definitely no. It seems that from the way you're describing it, it would seem that it's definitely no good. Now the Mishnah Berurah says it's kosher. The Kitzur disagrees, but not entirely. The Kitzur is machmir. What he says is, you have to take off two of the four. It's a very strange halacha. Two of the four. You don't have to take them all off. You separate the two parts. The original garment has been destroyed. Now, when you put it back together, he says this would be called Tasev Eloi Min Ha'asi. But you don't need to take off all four. You only need to take off two of the four. Why? Because you decide which part of the garment is the Iker and which part is the Tafel. And even though one may be larger, one may be smaller, it's up to you to decide which is the Iker, which is the Tafel. And the part that's the Iker has two tzitzis, which have been put there kedin, being that that section of material itself is a kosher talis, like the svar of the Mishnah Berurah, and you don't have to take off those tzitzis. But the part that's a tofel, we consider it would be a problem of tasev eloi min osi when you put it back together. So the Kitzur is machmir and says that in this instance you should take off, decide which part of the garment you want to be considered the tofel, and when you reconstitute it, before you reconstitute it, take off those tzitzis and retie them all over again. It's a very difficult halacha. Let's see how he says it inside. May it become clear when we read the words inside. Talis sheyesh bo tzitzis, you have a garment, and the garment at this point in time has tzitzis all four corners. V'nechlak l'shnei chalokim, it's now been cut down the middle. You remove the shoulder straps. Kimo shehu shchiach b'harbe talisim. Notice that he says talisim. You can say it both ways. In Eretz Yisrael, you see all the signs talisot. Talisot, lashon nekeva. Talisos, talisot. But it appears that it's also correct. I once vaguely remember asking someone with Bucky, talisim. So why do we say talisim? Is it talisos or talisim? I think they're both correct. You can go both ways. So why is Yiddish? Yeah?
Talisim is Yiddish.
Hey, could very well be.
No,
it could be. Yeah, it could be. That's like Shabbosim. Shabbosim. Shabbosim is Yiddish, and Shabbosos is Shabbat.
There are books published on these things.
Yeah. Shabbosim is Yiddish.
In Hebrew, here
for talisim. For talisim. Okay, so talisim. We essentially, it's in the Kitzur, classic sefer. He writes a talisim. Go in Eretz Yisrael in the taxi, you'll see signs all over Meir Shearim. Talisot. Talisot. Okay. Okay, that's, I think you can say both ways. The harbe talisim shalanu shehem mechubarim b'shnei chalakim, like many of the talisim that are common among us, which are fashioned by joining two different sections, b'shnei chalakim ulupalim mafridim oisok delchapso. And there are times when you separate the two different front and the back, you take away the shoulder straps in order to cleanse the garment, or you want to repair the garment. The achar kach choishim chabin oisam b'tfil. Then you go and you reconstitute it by stitching back on the shoulder straps. Kevon dimistama, here he writes, since dimistama, it's in all likelihood, yesh b'chol chele k'dei lehisatef, but when you separate the shoulder straps, and you're left with two different sections, each section in and of itself is at least 18 by 18, it's a kosher talus by itself, which is chayiv in tzitzis. Therefore, al-kein, dai, it's not called hasev lo mina osui, but he's not so generous, the kitzer, dai, it's al-kein, dai, im yitol shtei hatzitzios me'eze chelek she'yirtze. He's not so generous to say, like the Mishnah Moor, no problem, put it back together. You have to take off two of the four. Ula'acha she'ichaber esatalis yachsor v'yikshrim, then tie on those two again, because one part will view as the ikar, and the other part will view as the tofel. On the part that's the ikar, we do not need to take off the tzitz. The part that's the tofel, we do need to take on, put it back on, so there should not be any chshash of tasev lemin osri. Aval im ein b'chol chelik b'fnei atzma k'deish l'esatim, but we have an unusual situation where the talis is so teeny that when you separate it, when you separate the shoulder straps, you're left with two different sections, and each section in and of itself is not large enough to be chayiv in tzitzis, then on the ikar hadin you have to take off all four tzitzis. Because when it comes separated, hachalokim niftar kol chelik mi tzitzis, so that's exempt from tzitzis. Uliachas sheshuv nischabru v'nischay b'tzitzis. Im yashiru bo harishonis, if you allow the original tzitzis to remain, pasul mishum taseh v'loy min he'osui kedelel b'sif. What happens if you have a situation where you have a talus and the front part by itself is chayv and tzitz, large enough, but when you remove the shoulder straps, the back part is small and we potter from tzitzis? Then don't decide. The decision has been made for you. If you have a garment and the front is large, the back is small, you take the shoulder straps off, the only option you have is to remove the tzitzis from the smaller part, not from the larger part. Let's see the dal on the bottom, yud dal. He discusses other related inyanim of tasev eloi min ha'asui. The shem simalacha, mishum tasev min ha'asui, ayin m'pimigadim. Dim hitl tzitz balayla kasha. One may argue that you're not allowed to insert tzitzis into your garment at night, because we paskin halacha lemaisa laila loves man tzitzis. You don't make a bracha on a talus at night. It's not as man of tzitzis. So when I put the tzitzis in the garment at night, I'm not doing the mitzvah. And then when it becomes morning, it's tase v'loy min ha'osui. So are you allowed to insert tzitzis on a talus at night? Can you work at night in a talus factory? So the answer is yes, kosher. V'loy havet tase v'loy min ha'osui. U'mashma d'lechatchilo lo yatil balayla ayin shom. An incredible chumrah. He writes a lechatchila person, we don't pass like this. Lechatchila, you should not insert tzitzis at night because of this issue of tasev lemin osui. However, v'ayin b'shailus tshuvas leiv chayim v'hanhogas marsham demutar lahatil balayla kemo shemutar lichtoiv tfilin balayla. That's the halacha that's accepted. I don't think anyone is machmir on this, as far as I know, that you don't put tzitzis at night. Lechatchila, you can put tzitzis in the talis. Tasev v'loy min osui is in the mitzis of a beget, not on zeman. The beged is chayiv in tzitzis when the zman arrives. I'm putting the tzitzis into the beged. The rules of tasev lemin osoy are not subject to the zmanim. It's subject to the heftza of the mitzvah. And just like you're allowed to write tefillin at night, we pass that Laila loves man tefillin. Nighttime is not as man. The only exception they made to this is in the Holocaust, in the concentration camps. There were times when only you can get, there are many stories like this. We pass the Shulchan Aruch that Laila loves man tefillin. And there were people that were able to wear tefillin only at night. They wanted the mahadir before they die. They were suffering. They wanted to put on tefillin, and they were able to smuggle in tefillin and hide them at night. And the Rabbanim passed them, yes, Laila Zman Tefillin Lefi Sam Paiskim, and it's Kedai to be Moise Nefesh if you want to.
Shas Cheirum.
What?
Shas Cheirum.
Cheirum. Because it's not so silly. Putting on Tefillin in the concentration camp is very interesting. Psak Halach, and these all these different interesting. But you're not allowed to be Moise. If they were caught, they would be killed on the spot. So it's you're not allowed to do something mishagat. You're not going to go bake matzah in the summer. Oh, we want to eat matzah. We want to do matzah. So we're going to risk our lives to bake matzah in the middle of the night in the summertime. So the Rosh Chodesh El will eat matzah. It's ridiculous. There's no chiyuv to eat matzah. You're not allowed to be meisa nefesh to go bake matzah in the middle of the summer. It's a shtus. No rav will tell you. So tefillin is the same thing. They should be meisa nefesh to wear tefillin. To wear tefillin at night? There's no mitzvah to wear tefillin at night. Not so poshut. Not so posh. Who says there's no mitzvah to wear tefillin at night? There are many poskim that say that b'shas hatchak there is a mitzvah to wear tefillin at night. It's better than nothing. And they will moisten nefesh. People who want to moisten nefesh to wear tefillin afilu b'layla. So, but let's put that aside. Let's assume that Laila, as we paskin generally, is lav zman tefillin. Can a sofer write tefillin at night? You know, many sofer who write tefillin, they write at night, because when you write tefillin, you have to write. You have to write it kesidron. If you make one mistake, it's over. And there's an inyan of writing it, but it's sifus, writing it in one setting, writing it in one shot. There are a lot of chumas. Can you imagine a sofer is writing tefillin, and a person is going to wear his tefillin his whole life, give to a bar mitzvah boy, and the hope is the bar mitzvah boy will wear this tefillin, will wear it for 20, 30, 40 years, okay, maybe he'll get another pair of tefillin later on in his life, but there are people that are still wearing their tefillin when they're in their 60s, 70s, from the time they were bar mitzvah. Can you imagine the achrayis, the machshava, the sofer, when he writes the tefillin, should be written the kedusha, the tahara, he should be in a frame of mind. That's why there are many people that have akpada, that the sofer should not be listening to music, certainly guard their mind. So what happens? So they start off, they don't listen to any music. Then they start listening to shiurim, listen to Torah tapes. And then you get a little more makel, you start listening to music. And then you listen to this music, then you listen a little more the Jewish, a little more rock and roll Jewish music. Then you go to new madrega, you listen to classical music. Not Jewish music, classical music, you have to stimulate the mind. Then you start listening to music that's not, and then you start listening to the news. Ooh. So first the Jewish news, and then you start listening to Ten Ten Winds, start listening to Rush Limbaugh. You don't want to wear tefillin that the sofer wrote the tefillin when he was listening to Rush Limbaugh, I guarantee you. You don't want to wear those type of tefillin your whole life. Kaddish Shlichol Bukhar was doing with the machshava of hearing him rant of all of the Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, and all these other whole cast of characters. Mark Levin, who else do you have? You don't want Savage Nation. You don't want to have tefillin. He's a Jew. He used to be an Orthodox.
You don't want
these type of tefillin. So when does sofer write tefillin? So problem is you have little children. A lot of sofer have children. It's hard to find blocks of time. Many sofer write tefillin, they write it in the middle of the night because their children are sleeping, their wives are sleeping, no one is bothering them. They have blocks of time. It's not so much the concentration. It's Yishuv Hadas. It's a time where your mind is free from the hevel of the Olam, so you can write the pair of tefillin B'kdusha Uvatara. Wouldn't you want, when you put on a pair of tefillin, don't you want that the disciple put on your pair of tefillin, he wrote it B'kdusha Uvatara? You certainly do.
What's the LL's take?
What? To write a pair of tefillin? Yeah. I don't know. A Sefer Torah, a good Sefer Torah, some Sefer can do it in 6 months, full time. So Tefillin, some of them do it in one, they do it in one shot. So it could take a few hours.
Sofa can't do like 8 hours straight. It has to be like 2-3 hours.
You have to break. You have to have a break. You can't do anything to 8 hours straight.
After that, the whole day, you can't do it every day. Like
right, right, exactly. Like they alter. They don't do the. They don't do it every day. Everyone is different. All different. Some surf. I heard from one surf that he has to be in it. If he does a little bit here, a little bit there, you have to be in the rhythm. When you're in the rhythm, then you can just go. You lose your mind. It's a certain type of mind. It's not for everyone. It's not like everything else in this world. Not everyone is meant to be a train conductor. Everyone has their... Not everyone is a computer programmer. Not everyone can fly a plane. Everyone has their niche. No, there is. There's a lot of courses. Today, there's a lot. In Eretz Yisrael, there's no parnasa. A lot of people are suffering. I took a very good course from years ago. In Safos, fantastic course over the summer. It was a 6-week course, very intense, a whole day. 6 weeks, halacha and umnis. Yes and no. You have to have a good hand, but you don't have to be exceptionally artistic. Steady hand.
Know how to write between the lines.
You can train yourself to get pretty good. You reach a point where you max out. Okay, but the point is, you need the concentration. So here, the question over here is, that many soifrim write at night. So according to this, it's not kosher. So he's saying, no, just like there's no issue, just like when it comes to writing till is not loves man loves it's not this man to write till not this man to wait till at night, but yet you can write at night. So when it comes to tzitzis, it's not a shayla of passive limno. Also, if you put the tzitzis, we compare tzitzis to tefillin. The two are exactly the same. Which is I'll take your question. What about chil Shabbos? Chil Shabbos making a kesher is mamish im kasherim. The hella the b'shoyge kasherim. Just like you have a pot of chol, a person puts on the fire on b'shoyge, all these different shilas, hilchos Shabbos sugya, it's kosher. If it was the tzitzis will put b'shoyge, it's kosher. V'loy amrinam be, we don't say kol milso, the yom rachman lo sa'avid yavu lo mahani, the b'isr shayim garim loy amrinam klal zeh. It's not. It's due to zman. Something which depends on time is much more lenient than something which depends on actual prohibition. And therefore, it's we're more lenient when it comes to these things. Another example. There's a halach in Yerodea. If you shecht on Shabbos, so the meat is kosher. Obviously, it's not a hider, but it's kosher. Ushas Shuvis Birkas Yaakov Kosev Shabsulim, he disagrees. Mishum Yavla Mahani Chilukedeus. If you put in the tzitzis on Shabbos, if you put it outside, it's possible. The Now he writes this, but it's a pella. How could he, the Birkas Yaakov, argue on the Prima Godim, his predecessor, the Prima Godim? Hanal, the Ayman Shalshus Penem Neimavin, Shelagam Kain, the Kshem. Everyone seems to conclude that Bidiyevit, that if it's done Bishoigig, the person did not know what day it was, and he put in the tzitzis, it's kosher. It's a mitzvah habab yavera. Then I don't know if it would be possible, but it's not obviously a hider to have such tzitzis. Certainly, when it comes to that, you know, unfortunately, now in Europe, there were very many poor people. They know for a fact that a lot of Sifrei Torah were written on Shabbos. I once went to a cipher, and he says certain cipher can even tell you. They even know computers today. It's so sophisticated today. Today, there's handwriting recognition. Once they know who the cipher is, and they put it in the computer, Mishmeris Time is a massive database, and they scan the mezuzah. Every mezuzah, Tzolim, Sefer Torah is scanned. To make sure, not every, but most are, to make sure there are no spelling, but the computer checks it to make sure there are no spelling mistakes. And there's a lot of competition, different companies have made the software, and it became very political, and there's competition in Dinei Torah, like everything else in Klal Yisrael, big business in the software. But some of the more powerful organizations, they even have a database. So you write a mezuzah. Who wrote the mezuzah? Name the cipher. His name is Beryl Schwartz. He wrote this mezuzah. Scan it in. The computer now knows your handwriting. And any time this computer, this network, it's an incredible network, everything is centralized, everything is over the internet. You're bringing something to be checked in Vavish Meristam here, it's not checked here, it's scanned, it's instantly sent to Eretz Yisrael, to the Vavish Meristam database. The database data, the computer, the mainframe there, checks it and sends back the results and has a record. It's all centralized. So Beryl Schwartz writes one mezuzah, the computer knows this is the handwriting of Beryl Schwartz. If Beryl Schwartz will ever write another mezuzah the rest of his life and it will be scanned in, the computer will tell you, oh, we know who wrote this mezuzah. We can detect from the handwriting, assuming the sofer doesn't outsmart the computer, but generally his handwriting, his technique, his everyone is unique. There are certain markers which the computer picks up on, this is his handwriting. So if they know for a fact that a sefer, they know a certain sefer Torah was written on Shabbos, they know there are certain things which were revealed, written on Shabbos, and this sefer wrote over his lifetime 60, 70 sefer Torah, and they're all over the world, and all over, and they're all lost. We don't know which communities they end up in, which shul out, and who knows where, in New Hampshire, and in California, and New Mexico, and who knows where, and then someone brings in the sefer Torah to have it checked, and it's scanned, Sefer Torah, the computer picks up, we know who wrote the Sefer Torah, and it's blacklisted. We know that the Sofer wrote the Sefer Torah was Michal Shabbos. That's how sophisticated it is. But you should know it's not so simple. So if you did Shuva, kind of Laba. The other way around, unfortunately, there are stories where there are Sofer who went off the Derech. Okay, they wrote Tefillin, Rachman al-Tzlan, and then after they wrote, they wrote exactly. So those two are 100% kosher. If they went, well, you have to make an educated guess, and you go Basar Roiv, and there are guidelines. The Rabbanim have certain set of guidelines, but it's not uncommon, it's not so unheard of where people come to the Rav and they say, I have a pair of Tzlan, I know who wrote it, and I've heard a rumor that the sofer is no longer from. He's not religious anymore. Or he does things which are highly questionable. Am I allowed to wear my tefillin? Are they kosher? I'm very nervous. So basically, well, if he wrote his tefillin, he was becheskes kashrus, they're 100% kosher. Only mikan l'haba, is he nechshad, not from before. Okay, there are certain guidelines. Okay, we're out of time. We'll stop here with this.